Matthew chapter 4 here this morning, going to be speaking about evangelism, evangelizing. I just don't want to speak about evangelism, but if you respond, it becomes evangelizing. I'm going to be speaking about evangelism. I'm going to say it over and over. For the Lord has called each and every one of us, no matter what side of the tracks you were raised on, amen, to make a difference in somebody else's life. You were created with greatness. You were created with purpose, created by the Lord to do something great. No matter whatever your present circumstance might be, there's something right now stirring within your life that's ready to come forth, amen? And I pray here this morning, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you catch the vision, a personal vision of what Christ has for your life and how he wants to use your life and how that vision that he's giving you ties in to the international vision of Victory Outreach. The vision here of Victory Outreach Milwaukee. We are all the many parts that make up the body of Christ here this morning. And every one of us are highly valuable in the hands of the Lord. Outside of the Lord, how many know that we ain't worth much? Amen? Even if we got a good job, we ain't worth much. Even if we have a beautiful place, we ain't worth much when Jesus is not the center of our lives. Amen? So here this morning, I was sharing this morning, it's almost ridiculous, amen, that so many churches are having church and they're preaching the good news. The gospel of Jesus is being preached. But the congregation, the flock, is not responding and taking forth the good news beyond the four walls of the church. There might be churches you could go by that there's thousands in the church building. Service is over and they evacuate within 5 minutes. And just to go back to everything as usual. See, that's what makes us a peculiar ministry, a peculiar people. See, when we catch the vision, it's not only for us to internalize, but to us to transmit. God is looking for a church that not only hears the good news, but takes the good news to all the bad news that is taking place beyond these walls. He's looking for sons and daughters that know how to handle his word and know how to minister his word, even in the darkest of times, in the times of most pressure. Now, what we not think is the epidemic and drug use, gang violence, and everything taking place in Milwaukee, the mayor's fault? We could say it is. Is it the aldermen's fault? We could blame it on them. But I believe the good news is not just good news, but the good news is the answer to all the epidemic. What is taking place here in Milwaukee, I believe the condition of the city, inner city, and the suburbs of Milwaukee's condition, the reason for that and the person at fault is the church. Christ has given us the answer. He's given us his word. Amen. And that's what makes our ministry so great, so powerful, and beautiful, even in an evil end time, wicked time that we live in. Because we are a people, a ministry that goes beyond the walls, and the church service continues to take place, even if the service ends at 12 o'clock, it continues to take place when you walk outside the building. How many know somebody that's troubled right now? And they're looking for hope. They're looking for answers. And if they look long enough for hope and don't find it, if they look long enough for answers and don't find it, they have no reason to live. They have no purpose. when the truth is God created us and filled us with His purpose to be able to connect with the lost and the bound. This morning, they might just be somebody sitting next to you, really, really hurting and really contemplating life right now, in a darkened stage with blinded eyes, with a lack of discernment of the Holy Spirit. And here I want to address the church. I want to charge the church this morning that we've been called with purpose to save the lost and the bound. And in order to do that, we need to become evangelizers. We not just need to hear a word on evangelism and know the tools and the ins and outs of evangelism, but we need to put them into practice. We need to respond to the good news. And how many know the good news is able to set anybody free here this morning and beyond the walls? Amen? The book of Matthew chapter 4 here this morning. If you come without a Bible, scriptures will be in the overhead screens. The book of Matthew chapter 4 verse 18. Here it speaks of Jesus choosing his first disciples. What was he doing? He was evangelizing. He was bringing forth purpose into the lives of men that the Pharisees and the Sadducees would think had no purpose or could do the will of God. But here Jesus would walk the shores there of Galilee, and he would pick normal men like you and I. Bible and other references says that they were just ordinary, uneducated men, as a matter of fact. But after they had spent time with Jesus for three and a half years, give or take, they were no longer simple, ordinary men. They were extraordinary men, doing great work, signs, wonders, and miracles was accompanying the word that Jesus had given them, of what he would be with them in the area of the Great Commission to the very ends of time. And there in the book of Acts, you would see the explosion of the early church take off. And I always say we're living in the end time church, in an end time time right now, where God is raising up end time men of God, women of God, and youth of God. For the church started strong, it's definitely going to finish strong. And the Lord is looking for ordinary men, women, and youth here this morning that feel they ain't got nothing to offer until Jesus comes walking by as he did the shores of Galilee, and he starts picking those that he wants to be with him. Matthew chapter 4 verse 18, the Bible reads, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. What was key here? Not only that Jesus was picking and Jesus was speaking, but verse 20, what was key was that they responded. Verse 20 says, at once they left their nets and followed him. Verse 19 says, come follow me. Jesus gave me a revelation with these simple words. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. I got a simple note here this morning that those who truly follow Jesus will become a fisher of men. You want to be an evangelizer? You feel you're weak in this area? Jesus says, come and follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men, no longer of fish, but of men. So what's the key here? We need to follow Jesus. It's in following Jesus where we learn how to connect with people. It's in following Jesus and spending time with Jesus where we learn how to speak to our wives or our husbands or our children or our boss or our brother and sister in Christ within the church. It's in following Jesus. Because outside of following Jesus, we don't know how to speak correctly to our parents, to our spouse, or to our children, and even at times to the boss that pays the check. Jesus would say something so key here, and the key word was follow me. Follow me. And I will make you fisher of men. There was a time where I was deceiving everybody on my path, including my mother and my father, my brothers and my sisters. But it's been 18 years now, 18 exciting years, where I have followed Christ and He has made me a fisher of men to now be able to help people simply because I followed the instruction in following Christ, in my giving, in following Christ, in my time of spending with Him in the morning in prayer and word, in coming to the church services and in 18 years missing one service, Sundays, speaking about Sundays, making all the little birthday parties and the little things that take place within the church, the fellowship, food cell, I'm going to be there this morning. I could go to Chili's, I could go to Chickens and Noodles, I could go to Burger King down the road, but I choose to go to God's kitchen here this morning because I want to be in the fellowship with people, not just to connect with the plate, but as I'm connecting with the plate and in between sentences and in between mouthfuls, I'm going to be connecting with somebody downstairs today. It just might be you. Tell your neighbor, ooh, it just might be me. And if my wife is sitting anywhere close, she's going to say, please don't, why do you eat with your mouth open? Because, man, I got something to say. Even if I'm eating, I got something to say. I can walk, chew gum, and talk all at the same time. That includes eating. She says, my God, close your mouth, you're eating. Skip that. Amen? I got something to say, man, and I'm going to eat with my mouth open. That's the only way I can talk, by opening my mouth. Unless we got some of these people up in the house of God, there's nothing wrong with that. But we need to connect. We need to connect with people, and it's going to come through following Jesus. I've read that verse 1,000 times, but I was just reading. I just said, wow. Follow Jesus, and He will make you a discipler, an evangelizer, someone that has something to say. He will give you the words as He's given me right now. I was a drug addict. He will give you the words. He will give you the time and the place. He will give you the discernment and when to say something and when not to say something. Sometimes the best words of Jesus is saying nothing at all. It's called discernment. Knowing when to speak. Too many want to speak when the person's all mad. And I always tell, I disciple and counsel the men in the home and the women and even some church folk. I go, the Lord gives you two buckets. One bucket's of water and the other one is of gasoline. And when there's a fight taking place, the natural instinct is to pick up. If you want to turn off a fire, I wouldn't think you would put gas on it. But when you're mad and there's anger, the natural instinct is to pick up the gallon of gas and throw it into the fire, like if you're going to put it out or something, because your word is so important. But when the firemen come and somebody's house is on fire, they're not spraying with them big hoses gasoline. They're spraying water. And too many times when we not follow Christ, tell your neighbor, the Holy Spirit's already speaking, amen? Too many times when When we're angry and we're fighting with our spouse and our children, we got the helmet on and we got the fireman boots on and we got the hose, but we're spraying gasoline all over the place. It's like burning the house down to kill the mouse in the house. Burn the whole place down. Make sure you get the job done. We need to have a relationship with the Lord. We need to learn how to follow Christ. And I want to be making some great points here this morning why it's so important to follow Christ. Even if you're doing great this morning, you need to learn how to follow Christ. Because he has a purpose for your life. Here the Lord would choose workers. Tell your neighbor, workers. He would pick fishermen. Men that knew how to work. My pastor says, and I said, my pastor says, I don't like lazy people. I don't like lazy people. I know when I was serving the enemy, I was not lazy. I was able to fly. I was able to stay up for days, times for weeks with no food, no place to stay, no place to lay my head. He would choose workers. People that already knew how to roll up their sleeve and go to work for 8 hours and would brag about getting overtime. Oh, but sometime the pastor goes 5, 10, 15 minutes over 12 o'clock. And you're saying, there he goes. It's a long one today. But at the job place, you're willing to stay 10, 11, 12 hours because you're getting overtime. Even if you're coming home back late, like, I made the money today and you're coming in. I got overtime today. But let the message ring 5, 10 minutes over the clock strikes 12. And people start getting in their feelings. And some of you might say, well, Pastor, you gave your testimony 1,000 times and you say you never flipped the patty in your life. I didn't. I never had a job either prior to Christ. But he saw me when he was walking the shores. He saw me working 24/7 for the devil. I might not have worked at Burger King or at McDonald's, but I was working those streets from big drugs to little drugs. The Lord would see me running with the devil, flying with the devil, staying up all night with the devil. He says, man, he can put some work in. The Lord is not just looking for peace, looking for people that are able to work the kingdom, that is able to build the kingdom. Building takes workers, takes commitment. Building takes finances. It takes, how many are willing to work for the devil even when you were losing your marriage, your children, going straight to prison, to the coffin? You were willing to work hard to lose everything. But now we want to work as least as possible in the church that is able to bring you everything back and then some. It's a warped mentality on the way we think. It's a prison mentality. We see things backwards. So at times when we hear the word, it seems backwards, but we're really backwards. And because we're really backwards, we need to follow Jesus that is always a progressive God that goes forward. You may not be going backwards this morning, but you might be going sideways. In John 15:8, another very, very familiar scripture, John 15:8. The Bible says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So we learn with opening scripture, if you want to be a true follower, a true discipler, a true evangelizer, you need what? Follow Jesus. You need to follow Jesus. And here, if you want to be a true disciple, the Bible says here that the Lord will bless you when we're truly following Christ, that you will bear much fruit. You will bear much fruit, the Bible tells us. So much that people will be able to see the Jesus on you, to see the Jesus within your life. That's the abundance of fruit that the Lord wants to bless your life, not just for your life, but for the lost and the bound. How do you say that, Pastor Charlie? I'm going to break it down. So here we learn that we need to follow Christ, and if we're true disciples that follow Christ, we're going to bear much fruit. Much fruit. I put here, interchange will bring forth fruit that the lost and the bound will be able to see. Something that is currently taking place as I speak in your heart and mind. There's a stirring taking place through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because I believe the Holy Spirit here this morning is doing what Jesus was doing 2,000 years ago on the shores of Galilee. Picking disciples, picking those who to pick to be with him, to follow, so that he would be able to send them out with fruit in abundance to save the lost and the bound. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering here this beautiful Sunday morning. The Holy Spirit right now is picking disciples. And is the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, is not going by your track record of your failures. And where you've missed it in life, or what took place last night or on the way to church this morning for a few of you. The person of the Holy Spirit right now is just waiting to take off. It's just waiting to go to a man and a woman or a youth member that is willing to respond. No matter what you may be facing, currently facing, that something really heavy upon your life, the Holy Spirit is looking for a man to say, send me, it's me that you're speaking to. He's just looking for a man, a woman, a youth member, a vessel that he can come and fill and lead to follow Jesus. He's not looking for a perfect person, but a willing person. He's looking for a normal, willing person here this morning. And I know the way the person of the Holy Spirit moves, and he's usually looking for a troubled person. So if you're troubled here this morning, stop thinking about your troubles, because the person of the Holy Spirit is not thinking of your troubles right now, but just being obedient to whatever comes from the Father to your life right now. Amen? He's right now just carrying out the plan of the Father right now as I'm speaking. The Father's plan is being carried out through the work and the person of the Holy Spirit right now. The very word of Jesus is going forth as it did in the seashore. And there was a response, the Bible says, that immediately they left everything and followed him. Would it be easy? No, they would all fail over and over and over. Even John the Beloved would fail. They would all go back to that same seashore of Galilee and go back fishing when Jesus would die at the cross, not believing his words that he would raise on the third day. Sometimes it's hard to go forward, and it's just so much easier to go back. But here this morning, the Holy Spirit is here and is moving, and he's trying to bring hope to your life and trying just to get you out of that rut or unstuck here this morning, because there's a plan in your life for somebody else's life. And it's not just any plan, it's the plan of Christ. It's the plan of Jesus. The same plan that went forth 2,000 years ago is going forth here this Sunday morning at Victory Outreach Milwaukee 2427. That's West National. I was there starting the heater. What's the address here? 1204 South 61st Street. I was there, the pastor needed the heat on. I said, I ain't turning my heater on. Needed the heat on, and I would fly out of here with Felipe and would take off, and I was there, my back under a heater and everything, because I wanted to come under and serve the man of God. He wanted the heat. I went and put it on. Interchange will bring forth fruit that the lost and bound will be able to see. Too many times we want the lost and bound to discern, what Jesus is doing within your life. And because they're lost and bound and blinded, they can't see the work of Jesus within your life. So Jesus, knowing that, he tells us that in his word, that he will bless you in such a means that if, with fruit in abundance, amen, the Bible says, in fruit in abundance. I got it. You still up there? Showing yourself to be my disciples. See, the Lord wants to hook us up so good that even the lost and the bound will know that Jesus is in your life. But too many times people in the church have no fruit. And they can't even see the fruit for themselves, more or less a lost and bound person to see it. And I believe the lost and the bound, what makes us different to life, I believe it's just a place where you don't follow Jesus and you come to church, but you don't give your tithing, you don't put him first. See, when we give and put him first, what we're actually doing is following him. We're following him. Too many say you love Jesus and you put him first, but it's lip service. You're not following them with action. To follow somebody takes action. It takes movement. It takes responding. Your changed life should bring hunger and thirst for righteousness to the lost and the bound that want to do right. There's men and women and youth out there hurting right now. They want to do right. They want to do right with all their heart because they've been created by Christ. They want to do what is right. How many here this morning want to do what is right? But at times it's easier said than done. They want to do good. They want to do right. They want to be used. They want to be trusted. Your changed life should bring hunger and thirst for those that wanting to change for righteousness, for righteous living. What's going to allow them to hunger and thirst? You bearing fruit. Them wanting what you got. Them wanting what you got. If there's no fruit to be shown, why would they want to commit to a church that goes to church 8 days a week when they could just stay home and be just like you? Matthew 5:6 says, Matthew 5:6, I got it, I know it. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. The lost and bound right now want to get it right. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. You see, we should have fruit to create a hunger in those that are lost and bound, to be able to partake with the Lord as we do through following him and spending time with him. We should create a hunger in those that are lost and bound, and maybe your wife or husband or your children. They need to see the fruit in your life. They need to see that you got it going on in Jesus. That ever since you started going to church, something has taken place in your life. And they're saying, hey, you're leaving me behind. They need to see something that arouses hunger and thirst from their life, from your life. The Bible says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. How are they going to get filled? We need to bear fruit, people. I put one of my points here. It's hard to become a successful fisherman of men without bait or in parentheses, without fruit. I know when Cheo goes fishing, even if he goes and catches those 2-ounce little fish, amen, that he calls big, I call them bait. I come from Texas, amen. Even if you go catch little fish, you got to put something at the hook for them to strike on, amen. There's got to be bait when you go fishing for fish. And there's different types of fish, and that's why there's different types of baits. Artificial baits, real baits, stink bait, lures of every color, and frogs, lizards, snakes. They got all kinds of stuff. Some use corn, some use marshmallows. But there needs to be bait. Would it not be crazy to spend all this money to go fishing? Got a nice fishing pole. Amen. Get a boat. You pay for the lake, the cabin, you go fishing. And I take the whole church, and we're all casting our lines in the water with putting no bait on the hook. And us looking at each other saying, man, what? I heard there was a lot of fish here. Why aren't we catching anything? Because there's no bait on the hook. Some of you are trying to win your children over with no bait on the hook. You're still using the things of the world to win them over to Christ. You're still operating in the natural, in the flesh, trying to win them over unto salvation, which is something spiritual. That takes something spiritual to catch them. Here Jesus would take the disciples from natural, ordinary, uneducated men, and they would grow to become spiritual, great men of God that were so committed that all of them but John were martyrs to the Lord. Sometimes bearing fruit will call you to die. There's a reason why some don't want to bear fruit, because it's going to call for your life. It's going to call for your life. It's going to call for sacrifice. It's going to call for hard times. You want to bear fruit? You better count the cost. Last Sunday, before the last Sunday, the Bible says we are sheep, as sheep sent out in the midst of wolves. It's a spiritual battle we're fighting right now, so we need to become spiritual beings as we are. Christ is spirit, and so are we spirit. You're trying to fight a spiritual fight in the flesh, and you're wondering why you haven't gotten the victory 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years later. Even though the other person got the black eyes and got knocked out, you're still defeated right now. Question: does your life show that you're in Christ? Without you saying nothing, does your life show by the bearing of fruit that you're in Christ? Or is there work to be done? See, the good thing about working to the Lord, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It will happen. Why? Opening scripture says, follow me and I will make you fisher of men. It will happen. But we need to learn how to follow Jesus in and out of season, because he's calling us to go out in the midst of wolves. Does your life show that you're in Christ? A lot of times, I put a side note here early this morning. I've heard people say, the Lord knows. Pastor, the Lord knows. The Lord knows. Yeah, I know the Lord knows. I don't have to, you know, be under the lights in the stage. The Lord knows. The Lord knows. Yeah, maybe the Lord might know. Maybe you do pray. Maybe you do read your word. But the lost and the bound need to know. The lost and the bound need to know. And usually when people say, oh, the Lord knows, it's a cop-out saying you ain't doing what is right. So the only one that knows is Jesus. But the lost and the bound need to know that Christ is within your life. How are they going to know? Fruit. And I always say, no roots, no fruit. Jesus knows. Psalms 106. I'm going to tell you why it's so important that we follow Jesus. Why it's so important that we learn how to follow Jesus. This is why. Psalms 106, 43 says, many times he delivered them, but they were bent, right? On rebellion, and they wasted away in their sin. Bent towards sin. The Bible goes on to say that we're children of wrath. I give an explanation how we're in the flesh, that we need to get in the spirit. I always say, you don't have to be 18 to fight. You can put one candy in the middle of one or two two-year-olds that don't know how to talk yet, and they're going to, more likely 99.9, they're going to fight for that one candy. The tough survive. Only the tough survive. They're not going to lick the lollipop once and let the other one lick it once and not lick it. We share. No. They want that whole lollipop. And at 1 year old, they're going to get down. Amen? Because they're children of wrath. We're born as children of wrath. Here the Bible says that we're bent towards rebellion. You want to break that down further. It's witchcraft. Witchcraft. But here, bent towards sin. Tell your neighbor you're bent towards sin. It's real important that we follow Christ. Because in the natural, we're bent towards sin. In the natural, we're bent towards going to hell. So in order to get in the spirit, we need to follow who? Some of you are still following the connection. Here and there now. Not all the time, but just here and there. It's getting better. Our natural body is always bent towards sin. I don't even want to do the experiment of not praying for a week and see if I'll go bent the other way. I don't even want to do it. Because I also know the power of the flesh and how demanding the selfishness of man is, of woman and youth is. I know if I stop praying and reading, I'll start reverting back towards sin. Slowly but surely. We want to do what is right. We know what is right. But we keep missing the calling of God that he has for us. There's so many people in the churches of today that want to do right and know what is right, but don't do what is right. Have all the answers to what's taking place in this world that we live in, but no application. These men that were disciples, as you read a little bit further on, the other two brothers left their dad there at the boat and immediately followed Jesus. Tells me that they were family. They were working with dad. The two next fishermen were working with dad. 21 says, going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee. Tells me that the Lord will come and pick and disturb a family and come and choose who he wants to be with. There's some families that we got to break away from that are holding us down, not just to living a good life, but holding us down to answering the call of God. Here, these other two guys that would be called were with their father in the boat. They would not only leave the boat, but also father. They were also workers. If you keep falling into addiction, I put here, I was counseling somebody and I got these things. I said, hey, give me a piece of paper, man. I got to write that stuff down. That's for a message right there. I was counseling. If you keep falling into addiction, you're so bent that you find yourself going in circles. You're a crack addict, and crack addicts usually walk about like this. Amen? Heroin addict, an alcoholic, a prostitute, right? You're bent. You're all bent, right? You're bent, man. You're bent. It's like having the car turned, the steering wheel turned all the way and just doing donuts. You're bent. Everybody knows you're bent because you're going in circles. Everybody knows you're bent. See, when I was bent with the devil, my whole family knew I was bent in sin. They knew it. My brothers knew it. My sisters knew it. Everybody knew Charlie was bent in the devil. I was bent. The rim was bent so bad, I could just go in circles. We know the addiction and what it does and how it makes somebody run in circles. It starts off at nighttime in secrecy, and then it's at 3 p.m. They're doing that all over again. I'm going to go this way because I was almost getting dizzy there. I'm going to reverse it. I'm going to go counterclockwise. And there they go again. Man, mom and dad says, I never saw him do drugs. I didn't know. Because I started off doing it only at nighttime, sneaking back in the window like nothing happened, right? But then they saw me doing this in the middle of the day. They says, what's wrong with our son? The next person will come and say, he's a drug addict. What do you mean he's a drug addict? He's been in my house this whole time. He's a drug addict. Bent. Where all you can do is go in circles. Some of you may say, well, Pastor, I never did drugs. I never did alcohol. Amen? Well, the only difference for you outside of Christ is, I'm going to do this now. You know, I like doing stuff, right? Whew, I hope I got a few laps in me. Mommy, if I run out of gas, no, I can't ask you, Frank. Some of you are saying, I never did drugs. I'm not a drug addict. Prostitute. Not me. But because the Bible says we're bent towards rebellion, towards sin, right? Children of wrath. Your bent may not be as tight as a circle of a crack addict, but you're still going just in bigger circles now. It's just a bigger circle. It's a little bit slower. Nobody knows it. But you're going in circles just like the crackhead is. And you got the job, you got the house, you got the car, you got the education, and you're ending up at the same place where you started off, just like the drug addict. The church right now is going in circles and circles and not progressing the kingdom of God and not building the kingdom of God because they're not responding to the kingdom of God that is able to save the lost and the bound. We, the church, got to stop walking around in circles saying, nobody loves me. What do I do? What do I do when the plan of Christ is being preached to you right now to drop everything and leave to follow Christ? Oh, some of you thought, oh, that's not me, man. I don't know if this church is for me. Every church, I don't care how big the church is, if they're not following Christ, they're just making bigger circles. Like the Israelites were going around the mountain when the trip should have took a couple of weeks. It took them 40 years, and even after that, they all died, minus Joshua and Caleb. They were going in circles through their murmuring and complaining and not wanting to listen and just always complaining. They were going in circles, going nowhere when God was leading them with a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. When God Almighty Himself was leading, they couldn't follow. My name is Brother Joe, and I've been saved for 20 years. Jesus is the Savior of my life. Whoosh, ha, ha, ha. I want to let you know that He can do anything and everything in your life. Got the best suit on, the best tie on, $200 pair of shoes, all just to go in circles? Go to JCPenney's and get you some $5 shoes, 2 for $1. Come on. God, I was going to try to stay polished. There's new people in the church. Well, if you're new, you know who I am after one service, amen? That's pretty good, amen? You can go to college, can have a great job. I put my side note this morning. Can pay your bills. You can have a clean record. Clean record, never been busted. And still be bent towards sin. doing nothing for the kingdom of God. Too many Christians going around in circles, man. I'm from the sticks. I'm from Texas, man. When I see going around, dogs. We used to have dogs that had so many fleas and ticks that they would just chase their tail so fast. I've never seen a dog catch that tail. Amen? Too many people not following Jesus. Whenever you don't follow Jesus, yeah, you may be going forward, but in circles, which really represents going nowhere. You've never left the same place where you started. You always go back to the same place. Hell, who has gone back to the same place? A couple of you guys in the rehab right now, you know who I'm talking about. You find yourself back at the same place, using the same scriptures, doing the same thing, thinking you're going to come behind this pulpit to walk in circles. I can walk in circles, Pastor. I can do it faster than Pastor went in circles. I bet you can. People are dying and the church is going in circles. And the church of God should be advancing. We get caught up in our lives. We get caught up in the things that are taking place within our lives. And we start walking around in circles. I'd rather be a drug addict walking around in circles than be highly educated and still walk around in circles. Because education ain't the full answer. Money's not the full answer. The full answer is following Jesus, responding. And not just saying I'm a Christian, but being one that worships the Lord, one that spends time with the Lord. But you're still in circles. When you're bent in your aim, you will always miss the mark, the calling of God. I think the Greek or the Hebrew breakdown word for the word sin is missing the mark. You see, outside of Christ, we will always miss the mark that Christ has for us to hit. The only way we can hit the mark and be righteous is by following Christ. And what he did on the cross, we receive righteousness. But in order, we just can't be righteous. We need to apply God's word. Too many all sanctified and righteous in the church, but yet ain't being used because they ain't got no fruit to go fishing with. You know, I'm cool with the smokers. You're still smoking. I smoked for a long time in church. But when I gave it up, man, instead of having a camel and a marble at the end of the hook, boy, it went to a Bible page of scriptures started getting on the hook. We find ourselves going over because there's some things that we just like doing. I'm not going to stop smoking. Some of you are saying, I ain't going to stop smoking. I don't care what you, Pastor, you could run around the church and not 20 times. I'm going to, because I want to smoke. Would smoking enhance your evangelizing skills or make you more ineffective? You could go to somebody that's lost and bound, and they would even say, man, you're still smoking, you're in the church. You're still smoking, it's cool, but you got to stop it. Amen. Point: we need to follow Jesus in order to answer the call in becoming fisher of men, women, you children, and our very own families. We have that sign in our house, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Too many times we don't even have fruit or bait to win our own family over. And if you do, it's just a matter of time that they will be won over to the things of the Lord. Question. It's a tough one. It's a hard one. See if you guys can figure it out. How does one follow Jesus? Prayer and word. And the application of prayer and word. Applying it. So many things that God gives me in the time of prayer. What use is it if I don't apply it? He moves me in my spirit, and I know it's the Lord. But then if I don't do it, what use is it the Lord speaking to me? Because usually when the Lord gives me a revelation, it's for somebody else, not myself. And that's why it's so important as the Lord speaks to us that we transmit, that we be transmitters of the word. Because the majority of time, the word he gives you will be for somebody else in pain. And you're carrying the answer for that person in pain. But you need to respond. You need to take the answer to that man, that woman, or that youth member that the Lord gives you in your time of prayer, when you're reading. The Lord gives me revelation. He gives points to me like walking in circles. Something that none of you are going to forget. You might forget about everything else I preached this morning, but you ain't going to forget the one where the pastor walked in the tight circle and the big circle. The tight circle represented somebody in addiction. The big circle represented somebody that does everything right, but still going around in circles. The first person we need to catch as fishermen is us. Discipline comes when you follow Christ. Instructions come from the Lord when you follow him. Too many want to go save the world, and you ain't even saved yourself. The first person that you should learn how to catch is yourself. Now, it's one thing to put a fishing line in the water, and you can't see the water, and there's a fish there. Is it going to come and nibble on it? But it's another thing when you can't hook yourself. The first person that needs to be caught with the gospel is us. See, the reason I preach with all my heart, the reason I'm still around 18 years later, amen, and the reason I still transmit and believe that God is able to do anything and everything is because he first did it in my life. I first got the victory in my life. I know in order to continue to grow that further discipline's got to come into my life. Amen. So that one day when Christ comes, I'll be walking that straight and narrow. I know even though I'm the pastor, say for 18, there's still a little, hey, it's still there. It's going to still veer off a little bit. But as I come to Christ, I get lined up again. I veer off a little bit at the before. I used to be this. Right? Now, and then I veered off. As I grew in the Lord, I veer off a little bit, but every time in prayer, boom, he puts me right back at 12 o'clock again, straight. The day comes by the end of the day. That's why it's so important to pray. It brings you back to perspective. It brings you back to be able to see straight instead of all confused. The best victory is to conquer self. To have self-control, one of the fruits of the Spirit. Remember, the Lord wants us to bear much fruit. I believe one of those fruits of the Spirit he would want each and every one of us to have is self-control. Self-control. The best victory is to conquer self. I put here, all other victories dealing with family, the lost, and the bound will surely follow. As sons of daughters of the Lord, we need to challenge our excuses and fears. Excuses, fears, you could kind of put them as the same, right? I really believe that excuses are really fear. We make excuses because of fear. Because whenever we're going forward in the things of the Lord, we're going into uncharted waters, into things that we don't have full control of, but that in following Christ, we know that he has full control of. So that you can be doing good and hit a wall of fear because we're always going forward. And there's sometimes the uncharted waters, the unknown. In our natural ability, even in the growth that we are in the Lord, that he will put something before us that brings fear. And that's why it's so important continuing to follow Christ. And he will take you through your fear, your excuse, or whatever it is to answer the call. We need to continue to follow Jesus. Your excuses, your fears need to be challenged if you're going to go to the next level. They need to be challenged. You need to say, what is my fear? Or what is my excuse? And then you got to study that excuse. You got to study that fear, and then you got to challenge it. You got to challenge it. If you want to go to the next level, you're going to have to challenge that fear. You're going to have to come against that excuse. You can't allow that fear, that excuse, to stop you from going forward and answering the call. Those excuses, those fears need to be challenged if you're going to go to the next level in Christ. Let me see. I don't have a point here. Those fears and those excuses, what they really are barriers. They're just simply barriers that are trying to stop you to go any further in the things of the Lord. Excuses, fears, I think they're really more fears. Fears don't only strike at the beginning of our salvation, they strike all through our growth in the Lord. And what they really are barriers that the enemy puts up to prevent us from doing God's will. They're barriers, barriers that need to be challenged, barriers that need to be dealt with, because the Church of Christ was not meant to go in circles, but to go forward. So we need to challenge our excuses, our fears of going forward in the things of the Lord if you want to go to the next level in answering the call. We also need to stay focused on results rather than the difficulties. But here, anytime you concentrate on the difficulty of the work instead of its results, you're likely to become discouraged. There's times where we get challenged and we can look at something and we can see all the difficulties that it will bring, all the fears, all the pressure that work will bring, or we can choose to see through the eyes of Christ and see the results that work will bring for your life and for many others. Every time you're challenged with the fear, fear comes with the difficulties of I can't do it. When the Bible says we can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens us. We see this fear in our lives, and it's something that's a barrier that's preventing us. When God has already done this and this and this and this and this and this before that barrier comes up that challenges us and says you can't go any further. And the reason is, it's because we look at that fear, we look at that work and all that it will take in order to do that, instead of looking at the results that are going to come forth from doing that work in the Lord. I put here, sharing, getting ready to close. Too many times we focus on the difficulties and the fear instead of the results that it would bring. I share the school now. When the Lord would continue to bring me the school, man, that wasn't a little barrier. That was monster big. That was about 150 mountains right there. He would tell me about the school, and When he would give me the word, it would be, well, I put here a little list. No money, tons of work beyond measure. Some of the work that was only certified professional workers would be able to do. In other words, it's not like fixing your closet or fixing your room, however you want to paint it or however you want to put the boards. It's okay. It would have to be done under the city inspectors. It wasn't a work that could be done anyway. And then the inspectors would come and check the work. Being done a lot of jobs already, nothing that big, I was able to count the cost and all that it was going to take. But my focus did not stay there. My focus would stay on the results that would come forth from that school. So my faith would go over the barrier of having no money, the barrier of professionals would have to come. We weren't able to do all the work that would have saved a lot. We would have to pay big money for the guy with the furnaces to come in and everything. And all these things that the majority would have said, no way, that's not happening. But because the Lord gave it, and the Lord challenged me to trust him, I was able to go over the barrier of no money, which it takes in fixing anything. The barrier of professionals needed, we just couldn't use the guys from the rehab, even though they said, some of them said they were professionals. Day and night in my time with the Lord and following Christ, all I could really see was the results of the finances that it would bring and the great salvation that it would bring through the finances. That's all I could see through the whole process. Those times I tell Jamie, I said, Jamie, man, this one is crazy. Boy, it took me to the end. But school's been in session now for 2 weeks. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. I stayed focused on the results that it would bring, not the difficulties that it would bring. Because that would have discouraged me. I would have rebuked the devil when it was the Lord speaking. Too many times we look at our fears and the difficulties of changing, staying in the home, remaining, allowing the Lord to fully cook you. When you leave, you become a great man of God, a great woman of God in the home, a great man of God, woman of God in the church. We need to let the process of the Lord be finished in your life. Mike, too many times you want to leave because the fear arises, a barrier arises, and the old mentality wants to go back. The old mentality wants to go back and do what we used to do. Would be better than looking like a clown falling flat on my face. And I say it again, if you're going to fall going, Patty fell going forward. I hope she did, amen. Don't fall going backwards. Fall going forward in Jesus. Because when you fall going forward in Jesus, he'll be sure to pick you right back up. Peter, when he came out of the boiling water and he was walking on water, and when he started to fear, the fear of the barrier of water came, the storm and everything, the Bible says that he started sinking. I don't think he started sinking forward, because he was making his way to Jesus on water. And the Bible says as he went down, Jesus picked him up. He was going forward. He was going forward. We're a church that marches forward. We've been given authority and power to make it through the rehab, to make it through second phase, to become a great leader in the church, and to boot up, suit up, because God's got a purpose. He's got a plan for your life. God's got a purpose for each and every man, each and every woman, each and every youth in this place. He's got a plan and a purpose that will blow your mind. All you need to do is trust him and follow him, and he will make you fisher of men. As the worship team comes forward. As the worship team comes forward, come on, come on, come on. It's time to get them barriers out of the way. Whatever it is, whatever it is. Hey, if it's a bunch of marijuana, it's time to get it out of the way. Whatever's in your way, it's time to get it out of the way. I feel like throwing some stuff right now. I feel like throwing, sometimes a little bush. Well, I got to throw that one.
It's got to get out of your way. Sometimes you'll be behind the fear of a marijuana bush. The bush that was small starts getting bigger, and the bush all of a sudden